Hello and welcome to Public Access America. This is Just the Tip.
Office of Senator Marco Rubio is not available to take your call. Please leave a message after the tone. Press the pound key to end recording.
Hello, Senator Rubio, Jason from Public Access America. We just relocated half of our staff to Pensacola, and I was just wondering if you had any suggestions for sites I should see, businesses that I should partake in, entertainment that I should be a part of. What is it about Pensacola that is just so magnificent? Thank you. I also wanted to get a comment about replacement theory, how you feel about it. Do you believe in it? I appreciate it. Thank you. You can find me anywhere you find your favorite podcast, Google Play, Player FM, Apple, Spotify, and more. Thank you, Senator. Thank you very much.
Just a tip. Thank you.
It is time now for something positive.
We might be headed to the promised land.
The promised land, speaking the truth and finding... our external liberty once we internally liberate ourselves.
Problem can only be solved when there is a kind of coalition of conscience.
Because that is how it works.
This is the beginning, it is not the finale, and that's why we're here, and that's why we rally.
We've got to be that creative minority.
Find a way to get in the way. I got in trouble. It was good trouble. It was necessary trouble.
Franklin, I know we've got to do something.
And we're back. Hey, it's Thursday. It feels so good. Oh, just to let everybody know, this next week, we're going to be taking off, right? Yeah. Fucking vacation, holiday. I love this.
Yeah, you know, that's one of the things that we talk a lot, mm-hmm. and, you know, we don't always take time off for ourselves.
Yeah,
so it's a good idea that we do that.
Honestly, I have felt your stress from here. Like, I have the ability to feel people's misery, and I just feel yours.
I thought you were just gonna say you had the ability to feel people, and I'm like, Jason, are you feeling me right now?
I can do that. Am I? You tell me.
Are you feeling me?
How's that?
No, how's that?
Sorry.
Did I just feel like a breeze on my leg or something? I took off Thursday and Friday this last week, and it felt great.
Yeah.
So the thing is, I have never really had great time off.
Right.
Like the ability to earn good time off. And every time that I do earn time off, the problem is that it's literally just enough that over the course of, like, you know, just having kids and, having a family and pets and all this other fun stuff, it's like, you got to take days off for certain things. It's like, okay, I got a kid who's sick. I've got to run errands for myself. I've got doctor's appointments. I've got this, that, and the other. And so by the time it was actually vacation time, I'd have maybe 2 or 3 days off of time for myself. And then I would have zero time banked up for what if something happened? What if I got sick? What if I was in an accident? What if, you know, I had a family member die and I needed to go to a funeral? Like, I just didn't have time off.
You know, I worked at a place where it was about 400% people legitimately from Mexico, although there was people from all regions of the Latin Americas. But every January, when these guys would get their 3 weeks vacation, they only worked 1 week of January and they would take the rest of the time off. But then, like, around December, when I was like the guy that had been filling in and needed to take my time, they were like, that's not fair. You're taking off all the time. Yeah. Cause I couldn't, because you took it all off, but they were super stressed at the end of the year. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And so, so it was really nice, like, to be able to just take some time off and not really do anything that, you know, was work related, let my mind actually, like, go to sleep essentially and shut off. It's like, I don't have to think about this.
I love it.
And so, you know, I spent Thursday running around doing errands for myself. I'm going to be restringing a guitar for my youngest to play. So going through, you know, getting all of that, talking guitars and all that other fun stuff. on Friday, you know, it was a nice day, therapy day, all sorts of good stuff to happen. And then, you know, Saturday I was supposed to get tattooed, but that didn't work out. So I ended up making an emergency trip to the gun range. That was
nice.
Fantastic. You know, it's just, and of course the weather has been super nice. Ooh. And so by the time when we're done with this, I'm actually headed outside to go just when do my usuals, you know, de-poop the yard, mow the lawn and, you know, spend a little time outside.
Yeah.
And you know, inside, cause I got to get ready for the week and all that other fun stuff.
Of course. Okay. Well, but, I'm glad you know, you got
nice
that.
Thing is that I'm going, I, you know, I have a full week's worth of work, but then I'm going into a holiday weekend. So I get a 3-day weekend.
Yeah.
It's like, that feels great. I'm enjoying that.
It does feel great.
You know, especially cause I just kind of got to be like, you know, fuck it. I'm going to go find myself some French toast and just get up and fucking go do that.
Nice.
You know?
Hey, I tried oat milk, by the way.
Hey,
I bought some. It's delicious.
You bought some?
Yeah, but then I had to ask Google, like, is oat milk high in sugar? And Google was like, it's the highest sugar milk. And I was like, oh, okay. So I can't really use it. They did.
That's why I make my own.
Yeah, that's what they did say. Like the homemade or the raw form is low in sugars. Just sugars are added in the process.
Yep, I make my own. Yeah. And so like mine is pretty low in sugar, to be perfectly honest. And for a reason, because I'm, you know, it's not because I have blood sugar issues, but because like I have to, I would eat way too much sugar as a kid. And so it's like, you know, for me, it's like sugar blasted, sugar frosted, sugar puffs with sugar milk. And it's like, Christ,
I still like
I'll have a large diabetes with a side of large diabetes.
Yeah. Welcome to my world. Yeah.
Instead, it's like, okay, you know what? It's like, I need to make my own. So that way it's like, I don't have all of this stuff.
You get to pick and choose where the sugar goes, right?
So literally like the oat milk that I make is, it's literally oats, vanilla, and I use agave in order to sweeten it up a little bit.
I like that. You know what I bought? I bought protein powder, and like I'll just drink some of that, and it seems to really work. It levels out my hunger, you know what I mean? And it doesn't raise my sugar, so I was really excited about that. I think I was overdoing how much. I got to get my ratio. I don't read directions, Jeffrey. I just buy stuff and learn how to use it as we go. But that can cause issues in your body that you really don't want to happen. You know?
I think one of the best finds for me is, so there's a brand of ice cream out there called So Delicious, and they make non-dairy ice creams.
Ooh.
And so I found one that they call Wonder Milk, and it's oat and really? Or it's coconut, and it is there. So I've tried a few different ones that they have. They have a cookies and cream one, which I liked, but it's like, okay, I would really only want to do this at one every once in a while.
Yeah.
I had the chocolate fudge one with and it was like, okay, it's not what I want. But their strawberry one is like fucking fantastic, and
awesome.
It's super good. And I'm like, oh shit, I could make myself a strawberry milkshake or a strawberry malt with this.
What? Yeah.
I could do it with oat milk. And I was like, oh fuck.
I like
so
that.
I have yet to do this. So it's something that I'm going to do because I have not had one in so fucking long.
Yeah.
And it's one of my favorite fucking things.
Oh, I like that. That sounds good.
So I'm excited for the fact that I could have a strawberry milkshake or a strawberry. I got to make it myself, but I'm okay with that because I fucking love those things.
Yeah. I tried the low sugar Rebel ice cream that was like gluten-free, lactose-free, like everything free.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like the space ice cream. You know, I don't know if you remember that. It was like chalk, but if you put it in your mouth, it would melt.
Yep. Nope, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah. Which was delicious, by the way, when I was a kid. Some of that and Tang, and I was out the door.
Dairy Queen makes a coconut milk dilly bar now.
Really?
Yeah.
I am so happy.
And it was funny because it was really funny because like I was hanging out with you know, with my buddy before him and his family PCS'd out to another part of the country, and you know, they're like, oh, we're gonna go to Dairy Queen. I'm like, oh, that's cool. They're like, do you want anything? I'm like, I will literally die.
Yeah.
And so I was sitting, you know, I'm just like, whatever, I'll just chill with you guys. It's perfectly fine. It's a nice day out, whatever. And so as we drive up and, you know, it's like, whatever. I don't, you know, you guys get what you want. I don't care. It's, you know, fine by me.
Right.
And then, he just goes, hey, do you guys happen to have any dairy-free things? And they're like, oh, yeah, we have a coconut milk Dilly Bar. And like my eyes went huge. I was like, I'm sorry, you have a what?
Yeah, I don't know what a Dilly Bar is, but yeah, give me two.
So Dilly Bars, the what they used to look like in the old days, is they were like an ice cream disc that had, you know, the popsicle stick shoved in it, and then it was dipped in chocolate.
Right, okay.
Oh, man, those things were so fucking good. I loved those things as a kid. But of course, you know, once I became lactose intolerant, those things literally fucking kill me.
Wow.
And so I haven't had one in probably 20 years because I couldn't have them.
Right. And you're not alone. Suddenly, you're not alone, by the way. Like, no, there is millions of people that have various forms of lactose intolerance, you know?
And that's the thing is, like, Dairy Queen was always like a great fucking memory for me.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like, nobody went to Dairy Queen, you know, in, like, when we went to Dairy Queen, it was great because there was like hot fudge sundaes,
right, or banana splits,
blizzards and shit like that. But because I can't have dairy, like, I don't get to go. It's like I'm suddenly no longer in their market. And that sucks.
Yeah,
because I loved their ice cream. I loved their blizzards. I loved all of that shit, but I can't have it.
Yeah, I remember as a kid, my air conditioning went out, so my mom took me to dinner at Dairy Queen to get a banana split, and that was the best moment of my life, my young life. So yeah, Dairy Queen is a great memory. But I know how that is.
Oh yeah,
like I can't eat bread, and so I'm like, fast food doesn't like me because even the chicken they put breading on, like, you know. So
right.
I had Crystals, and that killed me for 4 days. Like the white bread in it just killed me. So I know how you feel, and I really like that Dairy Queen made that move, because I think I don't understand why fast food doesn't understand this more, that the bread is the enemy. That's the sugar. You're still putting, it's like you could eat your Subway with a candy cane. It's the same sugar to me, you know?
Literally, you know? And that's just it. It's like, you know, a lot of these places, they're like, why is our market shrinking? It's like, because we can't fucking eat there.
Right. Like Arby's, we have the meat. Yeah, but you don't have the bread, buddy, you know?
Right. It's like, literally, it's like, you know, some of these places, it's like, look, you know, one of my favorites was getting a fucking McDonald's twist cone. Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, the ice cream machine doesn't fucking work anyways, but
it's yogurt,
there's a reason,
right?
Why it turns out.
I think
it still can.
Can I tell you something? What? Figured it out.
What?
Antifa has figured out that white people can't do without McDonald's. So they've infiltrated McDonald's and made sure that the shake machine is always broken.
There's actually a lawsuit against a company, and it turns out what they did was they put in a code so that way the ice cream machine would break down every so often.
Oh, okay.
And then McDonald's would have to pay to have their tech come out and quote unquote, you know, fix the problem, which was reset the machine and reset that error. And then the ice cream machine would work just fine. And I don't know how the fuck they figured this out, but it turns out it's not that McDonald's actually sucks at, you know, keeping the ice cream machine running. It was that the company that made the machine was like, we're going to make so much money off of them.
Yeah, they did, didn't they?
They did.
And they also upsold the coffees, like the cappuccinos that McDonald's has. You don't have it? I guess I'll take a mocha cappuccino because it's ice cream.
So,
yeah. That's interesting. Sam. So I have something good. So I have someone good for you. Do you want to hear about something good?
Let's hear.
I found this candidate, Tiffany Smiley, who is running in the Republican primary for your U.S. House seat, you know? And like you said, it was like, I think I was talking about that in the first 10 minutes of last show. There's an alternative in the MAGA movement, in the conservative Republican movement, as I'm scrolling. Hey, Raven, we're going to talk about Raven Pierce too, but Tiffany Smiley, just like, I was like, who's going to go against, oh wait, let me talk about this. Bob Hagland is an election denier that's running for U.S. House Senate on the Republican side, but his website literally goes to his Secretary of State campaign where he says he'll never work with a Democrat, never work with a Republican, and only wants to overturn the election. So If you see Bob Hagelin anywhere, I'm sure he's a man and he looks like a big name, but no, he sucks. Don't do that.
Well, and basically all you'll see, like if he submits anything to the voter pamphlet, it's going to literally be like,
yeah,
just one sentence. You see this stuff constantly.
Yes, that's the point. They want to stay as anonymous as possible so you don't question them. You just kind of, they hope that if they put four anonymous names, you'll pick one. You know what I mean?
Right.
Damn it. I know she's here. I have a big note full of a lot of people. And I'm on Patty Murray. But let me just say, Tiffany Smiley. So I went to her Twitter. Her husband is the first serviceman to be active duty and blind. He actually lost his eyesight because of a suicide bomber in the Middle East. Mm-hmm. And he came back. And Tiffany, she was a triage nurse. And then she devoted her time to taking care of him. And like the military was like, you need to sign this. We want to get him out of the army right now. You know, he doesn't qualify. And she's like, no. And so she bucked the system and stuff. But I think that's neat because you know how I feel about blind
people, yeah, right? Absolutely.
I think everybody should have a little empathy. But here's a line that I found on her website. And tell me if you think this is actually Republican. Our diverse economy demands common sense ideas and a commitment to problem solving for the good of our state. Now, who said that before, Jeffrey?
Well, I mean, sounds like something we might have said.
Exactly. I mean, people think that I think people think we're partisan, but that's because Republicans aren't doing a lot of things. But I also noticed that so there was a vote for, you know, there was burn pits in Iraq. And soldiers actually developed cancer for this, right?
Yep.
And the problem is that the VA won't designate that as a war injury, so they can't get the benefits or the treatments for it. And the bill was to address that, to fix that, to give them their accountability. 174 Republicans voted against that bill in the House. 34 voted for it. And Adam Kinzinger voted for it, which I thought was mm-hmm. expected. Matt Gaetz, my representative, voted for it, which I found mm-hmm. really interesting. And Kevin McCarthy, the leader of the Republicans, did not. And I found that fascinating, right? Mm-hmm. But Tiffany, she cares about our military, and I like that. And I like that. I like what she said about committing to working for compromise, right? What Republican says that? It made me feel great. Like, okay, it's not all MAGA. You know what I mean?
And that's the thing is like, there are common sense conservatives mm-hmm. out there. There always have been. It's just that they are drowned out by, you know, this weird vocal, you know, legitimate minority. And the thing is that because Trump has the kind of power that he does right now, there's the group of people that are bucking him. There's the group of people that are embracing him.
Right.
And then there's the group of people who just really aren't saying anything about
it. Right. They hope he just goes away. The Mitch McConnell theory, they'll take his ass out for us.
Right.
Yeah.
And I think that's, you know, one of the biggest problems is that, you know, Trump has enough presence that if you buck him too broadly,
uh-huh.
if you, or too publicly, like he's proven that he's trying to primary your ass.
Right.
And in most cases, he's losing that. Like he's picking losers.
Yeah.
And so the thing is like, I would love to see them just, you know, completely dump his ass. And honestly, unfortunately, I don't think that's going to happen until mm-hmm. he just croaks.
Yeah. America First is a copy paste movement. If you want to be a MAGA candidate, all you have to do is copy paste some lame shit that you don't believe in and then try
you
and
just
stick
have to. You just have to say something like illegals out.
Yeah.
Prayer in school first.
Yeah.
You know, only about life and Hunter you know Biden. You yeah something about the Biden crime family and voila, you literally are a MAGA candidate. Like
right.
You don't actually have to offer a solution, you just have to like hit these touch points,
right?
And that's it. Whereas like, you know, actual conservative policy looks more like, you know, the government is overreaching in all of these things. We mm-hmm. want to get them out of it. We are overspending drastically on all these things. We need to get them out of it. My problem with the current conservative movement is more, it's more theocratic than it is like fiscal.
Yeah. Yes.
And
yes.
And that's my biggest problem is that they're focused more on the theocracy of government rather than on the finances of government and the fact that there is so much government overreach in a number of different areas.
Yeah, they're not. America First isn't looking to shrink government. It's actually an expansion of government.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It is. It's just, you know, they're expanding it in different ways. It's like, we're creating all of these different things. I'm like, that's not very conservative. Creating new government agencies is not conservative.
Right. Exactly. And something else that Tiffany Smiley, by the way, running for Washington State, if you're going to look for a Republican in the primaries, people, this is really your option. There's a couple non-middle of the road. I don't know. I just find her fascinating. So she wants to work with Washington State's agriculture community to protect family farms, you know?
And that's great.
Like, who says that? Like, when was the last time you heard she wants to work on protecting our environment? You know, like, who?
That was always a conservative value, even if it wasn't specifically stated.
Yeah.
It's just that instead of saying things like, you know, environmental justice and all of this, like the left currently does, you know, what the right always used was conservation.
Yeah.
Like, I grew up with conservation.
Of course.
Conservation of natural resources. The understanding was that we were going to use those resources, but you had to be very smart about it.
Yeah.
You had to conserve those resources. You had to protect them in different ways. You know, and unfortunately, there's a lot of people out there that don't seem to hit that touch point at all. And it's like, conservation and, you know, care for the environment kind of go hand in hand, mm-hmm. really.
Yeah.
You know, it's like any farmer who doesn't believe in conservation is a poor farmer. Why? Because they understand that the resource that they're using is finite. They have to add chemicals or sprays or any number of different things in order to make their crop grow. And if you treat your land like shit, you ain't going to get any crop out of it.
Right. If you replant on the same land over and over, you'll just deplete it. You have to. Yeah. There's a lot of things farmers do. But I love the family farm. Mm-hmm. So my friend said, I heard this thing about Upwards Gardens. And I was like, 3D gardens. Yeah. And he's like, yeah, I think that's a great idea for the inner city. I would listen to an episode about that. And I was like, listen to our episode Food about 3D co-ops in food deserts. Yeah, we got that from Jerry Say of Tallahassee, and we've been talking about it for 2 years. You know, like surrounding a community with family farms. I love these ideas of getting fresh food that is fresh. You know, not freeze dried, not a tomato that's frozen in route so that it's still, all these weird things. But I really like, I wanted to address Tiffany Smiley because there's an option out there.
Well, and here's the thing. It's like even in Washington State for the longest time, our Secretary of State was Kim Wyman, mm-hmm. a Republican.
Right.
And the thing was, is that Kim Wyman was like the Republican that you kind of grew up with. It's like, you know, did Kim disagree with the Democrats and some things?
Hope so.
Absolutely. but did Kim go, the election was, you know, a fake or a fraud,
right,
or a false flag or any of this other shit? No, because, you know, the thing about election security is isn't really a partisan issue.
No.
And so, you know, making sure that the elections here were free, fair, and safe was extremely important.
Yeah.
And Kim flat out defended her record on it. And she's like, look, it's like, what am I going to say here? The election wasn't a fraud because, you know, number one, I still got elected.
Right. And amazing news, everybody. It's one ballot. There was an election fraud on the top of the ticket and not down. So either you have to say that there was election fraud on the entire ballot or none of the ballot, right?
It's like my friend Adrian Fontes, who was the Maricopa County recorder. You know, Biden won. Biden won the election in Maricopa County.
Mm-hmm.
My buddy Adrian, who's a Democrat, lost the county recorder's gig.
Right.
You know, he was voted out. And that's the way it is. It's not that it was rigged, because if it was rigged, my buddy Adrian would have still been the Maricopa County recorder, but he got voted out of office.
Right. Yeah. And Jocelyn Benson in Michigan, the same thing. Like, there is no proof, you know?
It relies on all of these crazy conspiracy theories that just aren't true.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, sure. If my buddy Adrian, you know, could have rigged the election, you would have expected to see him also win.
Right.
Not get voted out and then be like, hey, look, democracy happens. He did this. He did this series of Facebook posts. He's like, look, democracy happens. I was happy to be your recorder for 4 years. You voted me out. I'm going to show the next guy how I did things.
Yeah.
And he's going to take that and he's going to run with that from there. You know, all I can do is show him that, you know, I tried to do things free, fair, and by the book. And guess what? The current recorder, who is a Republican, has flat out defended the way things were run. It's like there was no fraud. I've got all of this stuff here. Everything is documented, detailed, and laid out.
Right.
It's like, I've gone through this so many times. There was no fraud. There was no fraud on a scale that would have changed the election.
Well, unless you...
On a scale that would have changed the election. Well, there's always fraud in a vote.
Well, no, what I'm talking about is the fake elector scam. You know
well,
what I mean?
that's a fraud, but it didn't change the course of the election.
But it could have.
It could have, but it didn't.
Because we have
processes
people,
in place.
Yeah, we have people and processes in place to defend and protect from both sides, by the way.
Right. And in which case, let's take that issue up. It's like, look, if you think that your party, you know, whoever,
mm-hmm.
If you think that your party should have a certain number of electors because, you know, your party won a percentage.
Yeah.
Then here's my advice. Take out the fucking electors
or
because we already vote by percentage.
Or take
That's
out the
popular
electoral
election.
Take out the electoral college. Yeah.
And that's the thing is that everybody wants to get rid of the electoral college when they lose. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants to get rid of it when they win.
But I think we should get rid of it. I didn't like it after George Bush. You know what I mean? And I've been watching it ever since. A Republican hasn't won the popular vote since what, Reagan?
No, Bush won the popular vote.
Did he?
The second one.
Wait, the second one?
Yeah. The second one, he won the popular vote.
Okay.
First one, he didn't.
Okay.
No. The second one, he did win the popular vote.
All right. Well, I like Tiffany Smiley. My only concern would be that electing a Republican would give Mitch McConnell a majority. And I think Mitch McConnell is gross. I think Donald Trump came into office and said, where's the bathroom? And Mitch McConnell pointed him to the SCOTUS bathroom, the SCOTUS room, you know, like they just took a giant dump on that place. And I don't like the way the Senate works, but I also see her as being more of an independent. There's a lack of like political experience, but I think she would be the one I would want getting the experience, not a MAGA rag. You know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's just me. Like all of those things we talked about, our environment, our education system, all of that stuff. That's what I'm saying you need to take care of before you focus on a Hunter Biden. Like, yes, you can start an investigation of Hunter Biden, mm-hmm. but you don't have to make a big deal about it. What you should be making a big deal about is legislation, laws, like, you know, like what your job is.
And like I said, the reason there why I can see why some people think it's a big issue, like until you find proof that, you know, there have been orders to purposefully hide this, mm-hmm. it falls under the line of every other investigation that takes place into similar
that's
matters.
My point. And here's the thing,
and it's no different.
But why Joe Biden? Why not Obama trying to get his kids into a good school? What about George Bush
using the material on the laptop?
What about Jimmy Carter's?
It's the material that they found on the laptop. Okay. That's the difference.
This is the whole Democrats are pedophiles thing.
This
is proof of all of the QAnon conspiracies.
That's exactly what that is. And it's that whole investigate every Republican for X, investigate every Democrat for Y. Look, if you have proof of wrongdoing, absolutely investigate it. Period, end of story.
Yeah.
But it's that when you're constantly going hunting for something, you're probably going to find something, number one.
Yeah.
But in this case, nobody was actually hunting for anything. They just found it.
Right.
In which case it was like, okay, well, there's a problem here.
Well, I mean, everybody was scouring at the time for anything. Somebody stole Joe Biden's daughter's diary. You know, like they were looking for anything and everything at the time. And that's kind of my point. Like the right scoured the earth for, I mean, they scoured Ukraine for information about Joe Biden. It hasn't come out yet. We need to move on. Like if you want us to move on from Donald Trump and the Russia Mueller scandal, like we have, like, or the Ukraine scandal, like we have, or the 1-6 insurrection, which we're trying to, then you got to move past this stuff too. We got to get into real stuff. Unless you're talking about always investigating, like we said, the command, the panel that investigates a presidency.
Office of Senator Marco Rubio is not available to take your call. Please leave a message after the tone. Press the pound key to end recording.
Hi, Senator Rubio, Jason from Public Access America again. I'm just calling you over and over again so that I can kind of get your attention. Next time you're in Pensacola, if you want to do lunch, that would be great. There is some real issues that I want to talk to you about, including gun violence, death, so much death from so many guns, and you keep claiming that it's mental illness, yet these people that are committing these crimes are being punished. They're not being deemed insane. So I'm wondering why you put the emphasis on mental illness and create a stigma about that when it's simply you radicalizing certain people to believe radical ideas. Thanks.
Just a tip. Thank you.
Just
in which case, you know, if you're telling me, if you're telling me that, you know, somehow there's a politician that isn't a crook in some way, shape, or
exactly.
form, I'm going to laugh at
exactly.
you. Because I guarantee, because then it's like, okay, if we're going to investigate every president post-presidency, why aren't we investigating every senator post-Senate candidate?
And,
every
and their family.
Post-House candidate.
And their children.
Why are we not, you know, and in which case it's like, okay, so then at that point, literally it's like you have the Department of Investigations, the Department of Political Investigations, the Department of Investigations
yeah.
of Investigations. It's like, it's just...
It's too much.
Insane.
It's just too much. Right?
It's realistically, it's like name a politician who hasn't taken something and then given something back because mm-hmm. you know they have been donated to by a PAC.
Right.
Of course they've given something back. That's what the fuck happens.
My only point is do your job before you do your hobby. If you wanna investigate the president from the other party, you can do that when you're done with your chores. Fix climate change, give us our rights, and then, you know, shrink the, do all that government stuff you want. And then when you're sitting around going, hey, we solved everything, let's investigate this stuff too. Because the DOJ investigates. They don't need the Senate to tell them to do it. They investigate, and they investigate lots
yep.
of stuff, and a lot of
yep.
stuff they investigate and nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
Look, Hillary Clinton had a confidential email that was changed to classified on her server when they were erasing it because she was out of that office. She wasn't the Secretary of State anymore. Like, but that was something that needed to be investigated, right? But it wasn't mm-hmm. anything. Like, they made a big deal out of it. But then, okay, so we investigated her for that. Do we investigate Donald Trump for his use of an unsecure iPhone in the Oval Office? Like, where does it end, right? Are there crimes that are just petty bullshit that we need to learn from and address instead of convicting people, you know?
Or not convicting anybody, because that's legitimately where most of this has gone.
Right.
It's like we've spent a ton of man hours on stuff like that, but
yeah.
we've got like what, 3-4 convictions
that's my
out
point.
Of it.
That's my point. We spent a buttload of money.
That's
you know?
That's a ton of money to spend on that. That's a ton of money to spend on the judicial system.
Yeah.
And you know, really, you know, you uncover yeah, did you uncover some wrongdoing that probably needed to be prosecuted? Yeah, sure. But It wasn't what you thought it was going to be. Period.
Right.
End of story. And that's the thing is that through the course of normal investigations, that's what happens.
Uh-huh.
And with this, I expect it to be much the same. Through the course of normal investigations, if something else comes up, it will be addressed.
Right. I mean, the right had plenty of stuff when Donald Trump did something mm-hmm. and they were like, oh, it's no big deal. It just happens. It's not an emolument, you know, and that's fair if they feel that way. What I feel is that the Constitution is their Bible. Like, I thought about this and religion.
No, it's not.
Religion.
No, it's
it
not.
It should be. Like when you give, when you take your oath of office, you are kind of saying, God, you are my driver, but the Constitution is my North Star. That's how it should be, because that contract was made between the people and the federal government. And the federal government has been doing that scope creeping for 200 years. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And that's the problem. And the way they're doing it, by scope creeping, instead of making amendments and laws and passing these things, they're not doing it correctly. They're doing it under the table. Like, we're just going to creep on you a little more, you know? And both Republicans and Democrats do that. Somebody wanted to pass the domestic terrorism law, and because Democrats were passing it, it must be good, you know? And I was like, but turning our government's intelligence inward on us deserves a conversation, right? Like,
well, and that's the thing is that when you look at domestic terrorism, like, you're going to have to define that very, very carefully.
Yeah, I mean, that's my point.
Should.
Is Jason a domestic terrorist? Maybe under a different administration, talking bad about Donald Trump would make me a fucking extremist, you know?
Well, and that's the thing is that, you know, you have all of that crazy shit that's been floated that, you know, talking bad about the president shouldn't be allowed. I'm like, it's the First Amendment. Literally being able to shit talk your president is literally the First Amendment. If I show up angry to a school board meeting, you know, am I going to be labeled a domestic terrorist? No, you can be angry about stuff. That's not domestic terrorism. You just can't threaten violence. And that's already been decided in Supreme Court law. You get to be angry about stuff, but the moment you threaten violence, that's not freedom of speech. That's been decided very clearly. You know, and any number of different issues that have come up, you know, it's just that with domestic terrorism, it waffles so much because, you know, you've got literally, you know, right now it's like you've got people who say BLM was domestic terrorism, but somehow January 6th was, you know, perfectly fine.
Yeah.
And it's like you guys can't, unless you guys can decide on what domestic terrorism is. It's like, I see where there's absolutely a lot of open room to interpret domestic terrorism in a way that would end up getting people thrown in jail for what would be considered freedom of speech.
That slippery slope, right?
And that's the tough part is that, you know, is domestic. I mean, the DOJ has come out and said for multiple years in a row now, you know, especially under the Trump administration, that domestic terrorism is the biggest current threat that we face in this country.
But it's undefined.
But they no, it's strategically undefined.
Well, it falls into buckets. Problem. It's defined separately into minutiae that we just call domestic.
It's not even defined that well. That's the problem.
That's my point.
It is politically defined and depends on who is in office.
Right. White motivated violence is domestic terrorism, but so is Muslim created domestic terrorism or religious domestic terrorism, but they're all domestic terrorism, but they're because, so poorly defined because there's not one thing, right? You're like, you said,
well,
it's political.
Like, it's like, for example, it's like, what's the difference, you know, if somebody who, you know, worshiped a different religion bombed a Planned Parenthood, they would call it domestic terrorism, but when it's a Christian that does it, it's not.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense.
When a white supremacist Dylann Roof goes into a Baptist church and kills people, it's a black hate crime, right? Like, it's a race crime. But when somebody goes to a spa and kills Asian people, it's an Asian hate crime. But then it gets to a mosque and suddenly it's replacement theory, you know, like,
right.
It's so weird to me. Like, it all fits under the same banner, but the way they treat it and prosecute it different makes me confused.
And that's the problem.
Yeah.
And that's the problem is that they refuse to create a specific set of definitions. Mm-hmm. And it's literally by design.
And I don't vague when it comes to our government.
No, it's by design,
right.
and that's honestly why you haven't seen a real push towards prosecuting domestic terrorism.
Of course,
and because what's going to happen is one side's going to push and prosecute differently than the other side, mm-hmm. rather than create a standard set of definitions. And when things fall into that category, doesn't matter who does it, you prosecute it as domestic terrorism.
That's right.
And so that's why you consistently see nothing done.
Yeah.
Is, you know, the Republicans don't want to have to arrest their supporters for doing things that would fall under a designation of domestic terrorism.
That's right. What I think is funny, I realized that Donald Trump and the MAGA gang, they need an enemy, because if the truth came out that there wasn't an enemy of equal importance on the other side, they would just be assholes.
You know? Well, like, I mean, you look at what we had, you know, when we worked together. Well,
mm-hmm.
we had the Soviet Union against us, and there was this, you know, there was an understanding. It's like the left and the right didn't get along, but we had a greater problem at hand.
Right.
And a lot of people thought, okay, well, with Russia doing what Russia is doing now, maybe there'll be a chance that, it turns out Russia's completely inept.
Yeah. And CPAC is being held in Hungary.
So,
and going to Budapest. So I don't know, man, when your party is fucking having its conference in a foreign, like, social dictatorship, like, Hungary is so weird to me because it was so socialist and now it's becoming so autocratic. It's just in the middle of, like, they get free healthcare, but they don't have a fair vote. Like, it's so weird, you know?
That sounds like any other socialist country, like yeah. Venezuela.
But you can't be gay.
Sounds like Venezuela.
Yeah.
Oh. It's literally just Venezuela, but for Republicans.
Right. And that's only because, well, Venezuela seems to be the point we can point at. Like, socialism's bad. What about Finland? What about Sweden? What about, like, Denmark? No.
You can't, well, number one, they're not socialist. Oh, and number two, they're democratic socialist. Mm-hmm. And number three, it's the Nordic model, which is entirely its own breed.
And number four,
it actually works there. So it's like, what are you going to do? Yeah. Oh my God, look at how unhappy the citizens are. All four of them are consistently in the top five of happiest countries in the world.
Everything is a combination of everything, right? It should be. Like,
right.
We have elements of socialism with Medicare, right? We have elements Absolutely. Of capitalism. We have elements of autocracy, right? Like, because there's only four baby formula makers and Abbott is 43% of that. Like, there's an issue with this stuff. But a body that regulates itself will never rein itself in. And that's kind of the problem with Congress, isn't it? They make their antitrust laws. We don't make it for them.
You know, it's like, oh, well, all of these things are insider trading. Okay, so what happens when you guys do it?
We're just,
don't tell me it's perks of the job. Fuck you.
We're just citizens. We're just citizens doing the best we can. There's nothing.
Like, that was the funniest thing ever. Like, we talked about, you know, when regular everyday people figured out how to make the stock market go to hell, you know, with GameStop.
Right.
It's not that the fucking government was like, yo, you guys are fucking things up, because they were doing what anybody else does. It's just that they figured out how to do it in force together,
and they did it publicly so that other people
and they
could
did it
see.
Publicly
right, and that pulls Meanwhile, back the facade. So Elizabeth Warren is like, oh no, this is bad. Why is it bad? You don't trade what? Like, you're not in the market, are you, Elizabeth? I don't think so.
and so it's like, well, we got to protect, well, who are you trying to protect?
The citizens that are paying,
not the millionaires and billionaires, because you've been using this line that says that, you know, they're the bad ones. But when a bunch of everyday fucking trolls figure out how to make money off of the same fucking scheme that you guys use, just differently, so that's bad somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, it's either bad for you guys too, or fuck it, it's fair game. Take your pick.
It's bad. And I'm worried that MAGA is so bad that people will vote for any Democrat. And Democrats won't have to be good. That's my concern. You know what I mean?
It should be anybody's concern. Right. Like, you're not voting for a good candidate. You're just voting for a candidate that's not that candidate.
Right. I mean, honestly, like, if Patty Murray gets investigated for a scandal, I'm not going to go to the next ranking Democrat that I don't know. I like Tiffany Smiley. Like, I would almost vote for her. Like, so
I'll have to use a John Madden quote essentially on this. It's like when you have two bad candidates running against each other and you pick one of them, you didn't pick a good candidate.
Right.
You picked a bad candidate out of two bad candidates.
Right. And these candidates have to realize that we know they're bad. I think they think that we're stupid. Like, we don't get it. Like, that MAGA guy thinks that I'm stupid. Like, I'm living in another world because I believe climate change is more important than prayer in school. You know, like, and by the way, like,
you ain't gonna get to pray in school if nobody can fucking eat.
And nobody has ever restricted anybody's ability to bow their head in silence and pray.
No, seriously. Like, you know, in my high school, the teachers couldn't lead prayer in school, for example. But you actually had students that did a lunchtime Bible class.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they did it themselves. You know, they had their own little worship music and everything.
Yeah.
I didn't go to it.
No.
But I also didn't care.
Yeah.
Like, cool. You know, nobody tried to stop them. Nobody said they couldn't do it. Like, I don't know where they thought that this was under attack. And, you know, and to me, you know, looking at freedom of religion, you know, speech and expression, it's like, because the teachers are, you know, paid government employees, do I think that they should be leading prayer in school?
No.
But if the students are like, hey, we're gonna, you know, during this, you know, particular study hall, we're gonna have this area where we you know, we go out and we, you know, pray, you know, around the flag, whatever. Sure. That's your thing. When the students do it, that's on them. If the teachers want to join in, okay, fine.
Right.
But it's just as long as, you know, it's as long as it's student led and the teachers aren't mandating it.
Right.
You know, or, you know, that's perfectly fine. Or there's a Supreme Court case right now where one of the football coaches, after every game, would go, you know, pray out in the middle of the field.
Right.
And anybody who wanted to join in could join in. It's like, shit, that shit happened all the time when I was in school.
Me too. Yeah.
Did I join in? No.
Yep. But you could have.
Did I care? Yeah, I could have, yes. Yeah.
And that didn't mean you weren't friends with people that did that. Right? Right. Like, I had friends that would join prayer circles, and I had friends that would then come and join me at the bowling alley and get high as fuck, you know?
Right. So, like, it doesn't really matter.
Right.
Like, you know, it's one of those things where, like, I don't really care. It's like, if people want to pray at a school,
right,
that's up to them, as long as it's not mandated. But I don't give a shit.
There's the thing, is that the MAGA guy will say, you want to take my right to religion away. And nobody...
I just don't want the school to mandate.
Right, but what I'm saying is what he's telling his supporters is, don't even talk to them because they'll steal your fucking soul. Don't find out that they're not your enemy, right? And so by making an enemy makes a war, but there's nobody on the other side fighting you. You're attacking and we're defending, but we're not striking on offense like we could, you know? That's what amazed me. I told my friend, I was like, I feel like I went to the Western Wall of MAGA, touched it, and it crumbled. I just want to keep pushing on it, you know? I think that's fantastic. What you looking for? Yay.
So.
Yeah, I get it. So there's an independent out here that I think is fascinating. So what I did was I went on Twitter and I made an hourly tweet about... I want people to share the candidates, the good, the bad, the ugly, just candidates that we need to know about, because I saw a tweet about an indigenous person running for Congress in North Carolina, and that's historical. Deja was historical in her attempt, and so I wanted that. And we had Raven Pierre the progressive, who is running as an independent in Washington State's race. And I did say I would mention them because they actually volunteered information about the issues that they care about. And some of it was reframing the conversation about election fraud and all of this stuff. The other one was transparency, not in elections per se, but in the entire political process. So a lot of times what happens is the Senate will take up an issue, somebody will call cloture, and then what that happens is, and then it's Chuck Schumer and Mitch McConnell in a room talking about it, and then deals are made, and then they come out and say, this is what we're doing, guys, and everybody follows the plan. What Raven is saying is we should be done with that. We should have transparency in everything. And the other thing is, like I told you, term limits and not taking corporate donations. And I really like that about Raven Pierre. I don't think Raven understood that we were going to... I told him we were going to be talking about him today, you know,
right.
And I was like, but I would like to get you on the show in the future to talk about some of this stuff. And he was like, Sunday. I was like, no, not Sunday. I don't know why this confuses a lot of people. We record on Sunday. Our podcasts are Sunday and Thursday, but we can actually create content anytime when I have time.
You know? Right.
And I thought it was important. So like we were going to go on vacation next week. I figured if I could meet some of these candidates and get them on, you know, get them some content that they could share, that I would do that on Sunday instead of the clip shows. But I think Raven is, I think Raven's really interesting. So
fantastic.
Patty Murray, Tiffany Smiley, and Raven Pierre, they're on your list as people to vote for that you should look into, you know? And I just wanted to wrap up on that discussion because there's some really interesting candidates, you know, like.
Absolutely.
I'm not quite sure that these, U.S. Senate is kind of like a level five, and I don't see why people are starting there. Like, I just think you need, I don't know anything about like the activism and side work these people have done, right? Well, I know Isaac is a internet content creator, and he thinks that's more important than being a triage nurse and wife and support to a blind guy. Like, I don't get why he thinks he's better than Tiffany, but I don't believe he is.
Well, you know.
Right. But I just, the rhetoric around this shit is bullshit. You know, like I think Adam would support the MAGA guy until he saw Tiffany, and then he'd be like, oh, she actually matches what I stand for. And I think MAGA has diluted what a conservative is. And it's nice to know that they're back around. I love the rational conservative. I'll work with Tiffany all day long, you know?
Absolutely. Like the rational conservative is great. Like, you know, it's like, do I understand that they're going to have a difference of opinion in certain things? Sure. Uh-huh. Is that, you know, would I be able to vote for them? Maybe not. But I know that, you know, there would at least be some things that we could work together on.
Yeah.
Like, you know, the rational conservative, you know, should be looking at things like, okay, you know, I might not necessarily agree with you on climate change, but I do agree with you that, you know, there is a way that we can get there through energy diversification.
Right. Because it makes more
sense.
That
stuff should be built. That stuff should be built in-house here in the U.S.
It should be built in Washington State, or at least the technology, because you guys are the tech hub, right?
We're one of them, yeah.
Right. And so, like, green technology kind of has to go through you at some point.
You would think.
I would hope.
You know? And so realistically, you know, there's no reason why, you know, it's like, okay, you know, I don't agree with you on the climate change part, yeah. But I do agree with you that, you know, let's figure out how we can make these technologies in the country.
Right.
And be the ones that sell them to the rest of the country. Let's figure out, you know, what we can do in order to, you know, make this into a viable competitor, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, whether that's, you know, whether that is, if we're going to address, you know, if Inslee wants to address the climate emergency, then what he needs to do is say, we're going to establish these manufacturing plants. And oh, by the way, we're not going to tax these organizations.
Right.
In order to do that. Now, some people are going to say, oh, well, that puts them on an unfair footing. It's like, uh-huh. Well, as a person who doesn't necessarily agree with a whole lot of taxes to begin with.
Right.
I don't think that's a competition issue. I think that's a, you know, for me, I don't necessarily think that you're going to reach adoption as fast as you want to by taxing the thing that you want adopted.
And as well, you're either going to give them taxes in the forms of subsidies to get them going, or you're going to give them tax breaks like Amazon requests whenever they build a warehouse.
Right. So to me, it's one of those things like the Republican value of, hey, less taxes,
yeah. And
hey, more American jobs. I think it meets that.
Yeah.
And, you know, for the Democrat, it's, hey, we're going to address climate change head on, you know, that you both get a win. Like, that legitimately, you both get a win.
But what I thought was fascinating about the deregulation was that Republicans voted against deregulating the process to get baby formula going again. And they voted against deregulating the FDA process to make it more streamlined. Like, all they wanted to do was open up the process and deregulate. Like, Democrats actually voted to deregulate these processes and Republicans voted against it. And that's my problem. Republicans will tell you one thing, they're for deregulation. But what they're for deregulating is the killing of baby bears so that Don Jr. can go fucking hunt a baby bear. You know? Like, smart deregulation is important. Like, my friend says, we need to use a scalpel, not a hatchet, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we need to absolutely update the Constitution. Like what we were saying, like that's a contract between people, but it's a contract between people 200 years ago, you know?
And that's one of those things, like, you know, with people becoming career politicians, yeah. I absolutely think that there have to be term limits.
Yes.
And that's something I would say that, you know, people on the left and the right can support.
Yes.
It's just that support waffles when it's my person is, you know, 30 years in and they're the head of the X, Y, and Z committee. It's like,
yeah,
it's like, great. You know what? Guess what? When that person's retired and, you know, when the Democrats get voted into office, it's not going to be your guy in charge. It's going to be this other person.
Right.
And suddenly it's term limits, term limits, term limits. And it's like, how about just term limits all the way around?
Yes.
Period. End of story.
And that's Raven's suggestion, to put a term limit agreement out there and just let whoever wants to sign it. Because Raven and I feel that most of the younger representatives, they don't want a life in politics. They just want to serve as a civic duty. And I think that's interesting.
To me, is the way that it should be.
That's the way it should be. Yeah. And not taking donor money because you're not there to build a career. You know, we don't need a Mitch McConnell. We don't need a Chuck Schumer. We don't need a Chuck Grassley, like, or a Lindsey Graham. We need a turnover of ideas, but we also need some consistency in upholding the standards that have been there, you know?
Right. Like, you know, being a rep, for example, like, you know, what would, you know, it takes a conversation. How long is too long to be the rep of an area?
Right. How long, you know, is long it, enough to become an effective one, though?
And that's a great question. Yeah. You know, how long is long enough to be effective? How long is too long?
Right.
And from there, that's your term limit. Maybe it's 10 years. Maybe it's maybe it's 14 years. What about Senate? You know, is it two terms? Because each term is 6 years.
Right.
Is it three terms?
And I'll say, even the MAGA candidate on his website says he'll only serve two terms because he doesn't believe in legacy politicians. So that is something that's going around. It isn't something on one side or the other. It's both sides right now.
And to me, that's great because career politicians end up turning into, you know, corporate dick suckers is really what it is, you know, because they're going to get their shit paid for through, you know, and unfortunately all of these things.
Yeah.
Like, I don't like it. And it shouldn't be a thing.
Right. I mean, Ted Cruz just won a case where he could pay himself back like money. Like, I don't understand. I just heard it. It just flew by, but it made me think it was just a little case that just restructured everything.
essentially, I think if I remember right, it was he loaned his campaign a bunch of money.
Right.
And so now he gets to pay himself back with that. And here's the thing is, like, I don't know, like, without knowing a whole lot about it, because I haven't had a chance to dig in.
Yeah, me
like,
neither.
I don't know if he gets to charge the campaign interest on the money that he loaned out or what.
Right.
Because, you know, he could be like, all right, market rate is 5% and loan himself out $1 million and come back with $1 million plus an extra 5%, you know?
The office of Senator Marco Rubio is not available to take your call. Please leave a message after the tone. Press the pound key to end recording.
Hi, Senator Rubio. Jason from Public Access America again. I'm trying to lock down, like, a Republican agenda, and I was hoping you could help me flesh that out a little bit. Your leader, Mitch McConnell, says that we have to vote for you to find out, and Rick Scott says that the plan is actually to tax disabled people and seniors to build the wall. And so I'm kind of curious what the Republican agenda is. You can find us anywhere you find your favorite podcast, by the way, Senator. Apple or Spotify, Google Play, TuneIn Radio. Maybe you should give us a listen so that you could find out what the people actually want instead of this rhetoric that you've been pushing. Thank you. Have a great day.
Just the tip. Thank you.
Yep. I don't know how it's working, but I don't like this campaign stuff. I wish there was more transparency involved. Anything to wrap up on?
Nope. I think I'm going to go outside and do my yard work and enjoy some sunshine.
That's our Just the Tip. Get outside, enjoy your yard work, and
touch grass.
get your fingernails dirty. Get something in there, you know.
That you were going to say get fingered. I'm like, well, I mean, you can also do that too. But
Joffrey, here you go.
Wait, something tickles.
As it should. The power of love all the way from Public Access America into your butthole. Thanks for being here, Joffrey. I love you. I appreciate you. Come back not next week. Next week we're off. Well, come back for the clip shows. I made them a couple weeks ago, and I think they're pretty great.
Fantastic.
And our clip shows do really well. And I want to say Habit Breakers is one of our most popular episodes. People really like that aspect of learning how to be a better person individually. So just remember, you're the most important thing in your life. Life will be better when you're better, so get better.
There it is.
Love you. Bye.
Bye.
Uh-oh. Okay. Love it.
Fantastic.
To those who would tear the world down, we will defeat you.
This is our moment.
This is our time. To those who seek peace and security, we support you.
Yes, we can.
And to all those who have wondered if America's beacon still burns as bright, tonight we prove once more that the true strength of our nation comes not
nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and kick you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is going to hit as hard as life.
Ask not.
Yes, we can.
What your country can do for you.
I have a dream.
Ask what you can do for your country.
I, poor little children.
Yes, we can.
One day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character.
I don't have to tell you things are bad. Everybody knows things are bad. It's a depression.
In this lifetime, you don't have to prove nothing to nobody except yourself.
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward.
That's how winning is done.
To Public Access America.
Yes, we can.
Sunday live streams on YouTube.
I wanted to run out of that tunnel for my dad.
On Twitter.
Truth.
Apple Podcasts. Stitcher Smart Radio, Public, and Spotify.
Yes, we can.
Public Access America. History in the making.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.